We're really thrilled to have him here to perform for us this morning. Please, a warm Sunday morning welcome. It took some doing to get him here this early. Private music recording artist, Leo Kaki. Thank you.
is FM 101.9 KSCA. You're listening to Leo Kachi Live.
Thank you. Turnarounds become habit, and habit is another name for muscle memory, and muscle memory is not reliable. Because after a while, you know, your muscles get sick of it, and you don't have anything to put in its place, so it just sort of falls down. You take things for granted, and suddenly they aren't there anymore, and it's terrible on the guitar, it's fatal in other situations. I'm going to have to be very careful here today because I have a, I don't know if you see this, a jack that likes to come in and out of the guitar. I'm not going to pull this jack. I figured out I don't have to, so that'll save us a little grief, although I won't get to do it. It's either Sleepy John Estes or Furry Lewis did when I, the last time I saw them play, which was turn his guitar over to beat on the back and sing along with it. But every time he did that, the pickups fell out of the guitar. It didn't seem to bother him any. This is a song that, thanks again though for coming out at the crack of dawn like this. I think. It's really, actually this is fine. What is definitely tough is playing at noon. I've done that once. There's something built into noon that's inimical or whatever. It doesn't work. This is a song that was written by Santo and Johnny, and I heard it the year I got my first attempted tattoo. We never finished it. And as a result, I have on my hand something that's known as a time dot. Yeah, right. So every time I get a speeding ticket, it takes an hour and a half, you know. I wondered for years what happened to these guys, Santo and Johnny, and I think what they're doing is recording covers of Cow Sills hits in Italy. At least the only current record I found of them was in a truck stop outside Milan. this hit, and then a semi-hit, which was even better, called The Long Way Home, which I don't know. This next tune is, I haven't recorded it yet, I wrote it, so I'm the last to know really what it is. I'm just lucky if I come up with an idea, and I don't premeditate these things. I don't think anybody does. You may pretend that you did later, but I don't think so. After hearing it a few times, though, I think this might be a milking song. That's too fast. I've been doing this. Thank you.
You're listening to Leo Kottke live on FM 101.9.
One of my favorite voices over the last, I don't know, I mean, as far as I can tell, the last 50 years, it's a guy named Sal Valentino. It's a sort of a unique tenor voice. I think if a weasel could sing, it would sound like Sal Valentino. It's an amazing sound. I don't think you ever forget it once you hear it, and who would? And I love it. I really have been a great admirer of that voice ever since I first heard it. This is a song that he wrote and recorded. And since I once did actually aspire to be a tenor, I know better than to try that anymore. And so that this will sound unlike Sal Valentino doing this tune. I had a friend in high school named Dave Ware whose ambition was to sing in the chorus at the Met. He didn't want to be UC Beerling or anything, you know, he just wanted to get into the chorus, which I thought was, especially these days, you know, the way I look at it now, I think that's perfectly admirable. Why set a goal for yourself that you know, it's going to be hard to reach. That's something that's simple. Although, I mean, wait a minute, that can't be that easy, but most of the tenors that I know are, or have read about, let's put it that way, so I don't lose every friend I've got, really don't aspire to be in the chorus. They aspire to be out front with the, you know, the coconut oil on and singing Aida and all of that. And how many people do it? Nobody does it. Every now and then somebody winds up there, and it's more likely. I mean, I've said this a million times, but I think I am on a crusade. There's some graffiti on an overpass outside of Ashtabula, Ohio, that says dead people are cool. I thought about that for a while and realized that someone has set a goal for themselves. Why do a neurosurgeon unless you really have an aptitude for it, unless it comes easy? I wouldn't want to go to a neurosurgeon who had to really struggle to learn how to do it. I wouldn't. And how happy could he be, or she, after, you know, 30 years in a university operating on dead people? And then there's your first, you know, that says ouch and things like that. I can't see out of my left eye. What? So I'm not into ambition and zeal and planning and goals and all that. As a matter of fact, I detest them. I think they're... Wow. I'm a little more congenial in the evening than I am. So Dave had a record called, Dave used to stand down in my basement and sing, it wasn't an aria, it was some Stephen Foster tune that has a high C in it. And I'd stand upstairs in the kitchen and wait for this high C in it and blow my socks off. And we continued this sort of vocal demonstration for a year or two. And I went into the Navy and made that mistake. And, I don't know whatever happened today, but Dave gave me a record. I didn't like opera. I liked this one song, and I liked that one high C. So he gave me a record called 80 High C's by 80 Tenors. which has got to be around somewhere. There's a record archivist in Santa Cruz who probably can put his hands on it. This is the same, 80 times, this is the same approximately 20 seconds from La Traviata with this high C in it for the tenor. And it's out, there are, with recordings beginning in like 1911 and going up to whatever was the present day. There are three genuine high C's out of the 80 attempts. You learn to really admire the ones who just fall flat on their face, and to just sneer at the vast majority of them who have all these tricks for hiding the fact that they're never going to get there. The chorus gets very loud, the piano suddenly takes over, the key changes, they drop an octave, which is probably the worst. So, I'm going to stay down in my range on this. Tell me that I must not cry. You tell me all good things must die. You ask me why I get upset. You tell me that I will forget. Tell me why. I won't be blue for long. You say I'll find a love that's strong. You tell me she was not for me. That's just the way love's got to be. Tell me why.
You're with KSCA FM 101.9.
Of commerce, I should say that what I'm doing here is not what's on this live record. Some of it is on there. None of the slide stuff is. This isn't. That milking song isn't on there. There's a yodel in it somewhere. That's what it makes me think of the dairy industry. Doing for a long time, and I've heard several different versions of what it's about or why it exists, and I finally went to the source, one of the two authors of the tune, Eddie Reeves in Nashville, who told me that it was written for a wedding of a friend of his and a friend of his, and that the wedding did end in a divorce 3 years later. The wedding ended in a marriage, the marriage ended in a divorce. Which is what I was hoping to hear, not because I'm that down on somebody having a successful union, but because the tune is so sweet that it needs a little astringency to get it down. And this guy, before this couple decided to marry, was hanging out at a restaurant called Tony and Mario's, and ruining the business there for them. The wedding did take place on a beach, which is where the sand comes in. Thank you. said ring, ring, golden ring, around the sun, around your pretty finger. Ring, ring, voices ring with a happy tune, anybody can be a singer. The sun comes up across the city, I swear you never looked so young and pretty. Hand in hand, we'll stand upon the sand, reach your band, let the wedding bells ring. Hand in hand, we'll stand upon the sand, reach your band, let the wedding bells ring. I used to tour Yugoslavia all the time. I probably did 6 or 7 tours there, and on my first tour through, it was a double bill with Paco de Lucia, who is worshipped there as he is everywhere on the planet, and the party brought out the local luminaries to meet us in the green room, and they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to be there, and, you know, we didn't want them to be there, and we just wanted to play, but Paco knew better if I didn't, so we sat alone, you know, and got blah, blah, blah. I went out and played the show, and when we were done, I think the people who cooked dinner for us were surprised to find us in their house as we were to be there. And we sat down at this long table. There were about 10 of us, and there was a mountain climber, a physicist, a heart surgeon. You get the picture. And sitting next to me was a woman named Seika Tafchar, who was the token artist of the bunch, and I asked her what she did exactly, and she said, I'm a lithographer. I said, oh, a lithographer from Ljubljana. And she didn't smile. She didn't. No limericks in Yugoslavia. So I said, well, what, you know, can I see some of your lithographs? She said, no, you can't. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, well, I don't have any. She said, I only made 10. I said, well, you must have. You'd sold all of them. She said, yes, I sold all 10 in my one show in Paris a couple of years ago. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I make one lithograph, and then I break the stone. And she gestured like this because our, you know, and so now I'm talking to a lunatic lithographer from Ljubljana. And I said, why do you break the stone? And she said, that's none of your business. So I, you know, left the country the next day. I was just scaring me anyhow. And I came back a year later, and Seika showed up again, and she said, I can't hang around. This is in Ljubljana again. My father just found his way home. He's not feeling well. I'm taking care of him. I said, sorry to hear that. And I played this little tour that I did there every year, including a city called Split, which I loved, of course, to play. And I came back a year later, and Seika Tafchar showed up again, and I said, well, how's your dad feeling, picking up the conversation where we'd left off? She said, he's dead. I said, sorry to hear that. She said, if you'd like, I'll come by the hotel tomorrow, and I'll take you into the city and show you what he did here. So the next day, we walked down to this river that bisects Ljubljana and stood by a bridge, which her father had built He was an architect and an engineer. She told me that he'd been arrested. And looking at this bridge, on one side of the river, it began as three, there were three roads. And in the course of the bridge, these three became one road on our side of the river. So I had a guess as to why he'd been arrested, but I asked her, well, what'd he do? And she looked at me like I was some schmuck from Minnesota and said, well, he didn't do anything, you know. That's not how it works. She said he was just arrested. We weren't told why. We weren't told where he was imprisoned, and we were not told how long he would remain in prison. Every couple of years, we'd get a note from the government telling us that he was still alive. That was it. She said when he came home last year, he'd been in prison for 26 years. He was arrested when I was 3 years old. And that's when I found out that he'd been imprisoned across the street from our apartment house. And he could look up every day through this gun-slit window in his basement cell and see my sister and I playing on the balcony, and he watched us grow up from down there. So I have no doubt that's why she breaks the stone, and it's why I wanted to write this tune.
This is KSCA Glendale, Los Angeles, FM 101.9.
Hmm. really, they're short and they're old. This some of the first stuff I ever did, and I tried to stop doing it, but I got complaints and my career started to dwindle, so I brought it back.
Thank you.
What a wonderful morning. That's going to conclude another Budweiser Live broadcast from the Autry Museum of Western Heritage. I'd like to especially thank Mark Bleisner, who is Leo Kottke's manager. Also thanks to Amy Campbell of Private Music. Of course, thanks to Leo. Thanks to the KSCA engineering staff, who you never see, but they do such a great job with the sound. Bert Wiener, Rich Guzman, and Pat Dorn, our sponsor, Budweiser, of course. I'm Mike Morrison. On behalf of FM 101.9, I'd like to thank you for coming, for listening on the radio this morning. Thanks a lot once again, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.